Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm frankly getting very weary of the fake news and the leftist media continuing to incessantly pound into the public narrative what has up to this point and surely appears to be a purely manufactured bogeyman issue, connecting the president, President Trump, to the Russians and now Donald Jr. to some illicit meeting. One thing right after another, and as soon as it seems like whenever one allegation comes up and it's knocked down and leveled off, like another prairie dog sticking its head out of a hole, there comes another one. Well, the latest one that we talked about yesterday in the program was Donald Trump's confirmation of a meeting that he had, but it really seems to be nothing new or nothing significant there either. Now, we're going to talk about a newer one that's hitting headlines today. Yesterday afternoon, actually, about the vice president in connection with this. And we're going to discuss that in just a few minutes. We're also going to invite in our special guest, recurring guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today, as we focus then on the general theme for the balance of the program. I'm calling it Israel Update Against All Odds. We're going to consider why the United Nations, in the form of UNESCO, is so stridently anti-Jewish and what was involved in their recent vote against Israel. We're going to look at, in segment three, some really remarkable information about what's called the Maccabee Games. That's Israel's Olympic Games. And we're going to conclude then by, in the fourth segment, by talking about why you should consider perhaps taking your pastor and his wife with you to join our Stand in the Gap Today host and Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with a tour of Israel and the Middle East scheduled for March the 7th through the 21st of 2018. So all of this and more today on Stand in the Gap Today. And with that brief introduction, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today, this Wednesday edition. I'm Sam Rohr, joined today by Dr. Gary Dahl, Dave Kistler, and of course our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Well, Dave, let me go to you first because I'm going to turn the tables on you because yesterday on this program, you started out by asking me a commentary about my thoughts on what was top line news yesterday, and that was whether or not there was any real substance to Donald Trump Jr.'s confirmation of a meeting with a Russian citizen during the campaign. Now, I said yesterday I didn't see anything at all reportable, really, in that commentary. Well, since that time, Jay Sekulow, the president's lawyer, has really confirmed, said the same thing. But now it's my turn, Dave, to turn the tables and ask you about your opinion about something new that came up yesterday right after that. And it's not the first time it's come up, but the fact that it came up yesterday tells me they're trying, the leftists are trying to drive this through. This is what the headline said. Pence, the vice president, distances, colon, it was before my time, dot, dot, dot. Second one said, paper, colon, Veep, the vice president, ready to pounce, to jump, dot, dot, dot. The rumor, Dave, and the leftist thread being pushed out there is that the division within the Trump cabinet is so deep that the Vice President Pence, is scared. Not only that, they're putting in this thought that he's not only scared and trying to distance himself, that's what this headline suggests, but that he's also aggressive and looking for opportunity to seize the opportunity. That's the idea of ready to pounce and to take advantage of what's happening with the president. The fake news would like to believe there's a complete disarray and this vice president is just salivating to jump on this wounded lion, so to speak, about the president. Have some thoughts about this, Dave.
Well, Sam, let me say this. Yesterday evening, there was a prayer meeting in the White House that was conducted with the President's Spiritual Advisory Council. And some of that now is beginning to make the news. And there was an interesting little incident that occurred. Jim Garlow of Skyline Church, who's the pastor there, was attempting to take a picture of the group. And when Vice President Pence saw him preparing to do that, he stepped up without even being asked to do so, grabbed the phone from Dr. Jim Garlow and snapped a wonderful, wonderful picture. There's also a photograph of that Spiritual Advisory Council standing around by President Trump, rather, with their hands laid on him, praying for wisdom, for direction, for protection. And I would say this, if you look at what happened last night, it would belie any kind of suggestion that Mike Pence is either trying to run away from the president and certainly trying to seize this opportunity, perhaps, to become president himself, which is what the implication is of these articles. If you know anything about Vice President Pence, if you know anything about his consistent character the entire time he's been in public office, that is not who this guy is. He does not run from controversy, and he is certainly not a guy that seeks to advance himself at the expense of someone else. So, Sam, I would put about as much stock in this as I put in all this reporting on Don Jr.'s meeting with his Russian lawyer. It's much ado about nothing. It's manufactured. It's all a distraction to keep the American people off kilter so that they're not paying attention to the things that really are being done up on the Hill from a spiritual perspective and really many ways from a political perspective that are absolutely amazing. So it's just a bunch of manufactured hooey. That's all I'll say.
Well, I think so too, Dave, my opinion. And ladies and gentlemen, we were talking as the co-hosts here, Dave and Gary and I, before we went on the program today, we were talking about this incident and said, isn't it an amazing thing how you have these leaders, these spiritual leaders, and many of them are our friends. Dave and Gary and I and Jimmy know many of these people personally. To have them standing around laying their hands on the shoulders of the president and clearly the vice president there in that meeting. As Dave was saying, the vice president doesn't run from danger. Matter of fact, he runs towards God. We know that as an individual. He knows the Lord. And what a greater place to be than in the White House with leaders across the country with the president on his knees and their hands on his back, which is exactly what happened, and they were praying for him. Significant. Gary, you have done that many times. Matter of fact, when I ran for office here in this state, in your church, you and others stood around and you put your hands on my shoulder and you prayed for me. That makes a big difference. Gary, give me your thoughts of how you see this right now and whatever thoughts you want to put in this.
Well, certainly, I am glad that this prayer meeting took place, and by knowing some of the individuals who were there in the Oval Office last night, I would believe that those prayers were genuine, and certainly we do need to pray for our elected officials. The Bible teaches us to pray for those who are in authority, and I think that there is something unique about this president, and that's the fact that he seeks out the prayers of God's people. This has been something that has been consistently seen, and I'm glad of it. I'm glad for it, and I think that we, as individuals, though we may not be in the Oval Office, we should certainly be praying for our president, particularly right now in some of these issues that he's facing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I ask that you do that. One of the members at that prayer meeting said, "We prayed with Barack Obama too, but praying with President Trump is totally different. He is our friend, and there's a relationship. Very important. Use that as a filter when understanding, hearing a lot of the stuff that's in the news." Stay with us now, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to come back. We'll invite in Jimmy DeYoung. We're going to go right to the issue of this anti-Jewish UNESCO United Nations. What's it all about?
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, once again, the anti-God, anti-Jewish, and really anti-Christian as well, UNESCO. That's the educational arm of the United Nations. They, once again, shake their fist in the face of God by voting to assert that the, what's called the Cave of the Patriarchs in Hebron, Israel, was not really part of Israel, but instead part of Palestine. Really? What's behind this unabashed hatred of, by the UN, not just by UNESCO, but by a lot of other things? There's something here, and we're going to ask, I'm going to bring in right now Jimmy DeYoung. Jimmy, thanks for being with us today. First of all, let me get you going here first, and I'm going to pose the question to you, okay? Thanks for being with us.
My joy. It's always great to be with you guys and see how you're standing for the faith based upon the Word of God and the Constitution.
Well, Jimmy, the only way to stand for freedom and a Constitution is on biblical truth. We know that. So, yeah, we're glad to stand there and glad to stand there with you. Jimmy, you're obviously an expert in Israel. You've looked at what the United Nations has done on many occasions, but break this out a little bit about what they actually did on Friday. There, they took that vote. There were 12 nations that voted in favor of saying that this Cave of the Patriarchs was really belonged to Palestinians and not Israel. Three opposed it. Six abstained, but it passed. But it was an obvious smack in the face of Israel. What, tell me about it, and what was the, what's the deal here?
Well, let me talk about those numbers first of all. That was a positive as far as Israel is concerned, because when you're talking about 21 different members and you see three opposed but six abstaining, that basically is a vote against the resolution. Excuse me. And so the fact is that that's a larger number of abstentions than there has been in the vote. And so Israel is looking at this particular vote in UNESCO as a positive. Now, let me go on. We were there in Israel, had conversation this last month, the entire month of June into the 1st of July there in the city of Jerusalem and down at the Red Sea and then up in the Galilee, of course. But this was all going on. I talked with David Wilder, who's the spokesperson for Hebron. He lives right in the city of Hebron where Machpelah Cave is. He remembers something which is key to understanding the United Nations and their efforts to try to change the Middle East agenda in favor of the Palestinian people. Genesis chapter 23, Abraham, 4,000 years ago, purchased that cave, Machpelah Cave, for the purpose of burying his wife, burying his son and his grandson and their wives there in that location. It is the burial site for the patriarchs of the Jewish people. Now, that is 4,000 years ago when Abraham paid cash money for that piece of real estate. Along comes the United Nations. They go against history. They go against simple logic. They go against the Bible. And in fact, let me throw this caveat in. The prime minister in the cabinet meeting this last Sunday in Jerusalem read Genesis chapter 23 and said, I wonder what the United Nations is thinking about. I'm going to send them a Bible so they can read when the Jewish people were able to take control of this very special piece of real estate. It's the second most sacred piece of real estate in all of Judaism. And so that's key. But then you come a little bit closer to our time. We jump from 4,000 years to 2,000 years ago. Herod the Great, who was a great builder, of course, he was a leader, but a great builder, and he built the fortress there that surrounds and covers the cave, the Pelah cave, the burial site for the patriarch. He built that 2,000 years ago. By the way, that was 700 years before the Muslims ever came on the scene. So it is ludicrous. It's absolutely crazy for the United Nations, for UNESCO, which is an agency of the United Nations, supported by the dollars the United States pays to support the United Nations, and then the United Nations giving the authority to UNESCO to set these heritage sites and name the Pelah Cave as the property belonging to the Palestinian people. It's absolutely ludicrous to even consider it. I've been talking with the people there, Sam. They are very much upset about this decision. But, you know, I asked Winky Madad. He was on the broadcast while you guys were away last week when we were getting together. And I said, what is going to be the result as it relates to the Israeli government? He said, somewhat of a yawn. And we're going to go ahead because they make a vote in UNESCO, is going to change the word of God and what God has provided for the Jewish people.
Well, isn't that the truth, Jimmy? They're not going to change the word of God. We know that for sure. But, continuing here, a recent report from the Jerusalem Post indicated that the new economic world order states or lays the foundation for the fact that Israel could gain a degree of wealth not seen since the days of King Solomon. The article was rather fascinating in that it identifies Israel as deal-making with Russia, Turkey, India, and China as the New World Economic Order, and asks the question of why Israel is afforded such deference. Now, having said that, Jimmy, does it strike you that the European New World Order gang have overplayed their hand and are actually literally driving Israel into an alliance with a newly emerging New Eastern Economic World Order? What are your thoughts on that?
Gary, I got to tell you, it really does strike me that this is the case, because those people in Europe, which would be the European Union, have been boycotting Israel. They've been boycotting the products that are sent out from the settlements all across Israel, the great agricultural fields of the world. And so they have made Israel have to turn to somebody else to put trade agreements together, to put some type of an existence with some major purchasers of all types of items that Israel makes available in agriculture and in high tech, in weaponry, everything else that they are able to make available. And it is amazing that the European Union is driving Israel in that direction when they need to be competing for the same thing these Silk Road nations are talking about. I believe there's been some very interesting deals made as it relates to the group. When you're talking about the four nations, Russia, China, Turkey, and India, they've come together, and there's some very important trade agreements that are coming out of that. But individually, Israel has been making deals with these nations. For example, Russia in armament, in tourism. Remember, back in the early 90s, there were about 1.3 million Russians who left Russia to come live in Israel. They had a Jewish background, so they immigrated to Israel. They have been a major part of the economic apparatus of the state of Israel. The number two man in the Israeli government, the defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, came in that group way back in the early 90s. So Russia has a relationship. China is involved in tourism. The hotel that we stay in on the Mount of Olives, where we'll be staying, when we do our co-hosted tour in March of next year, that hotel just signed a deal with the Chinese Tourism Department in its government to bring Chinese people, and now the largest group of any peoples in the world, the Chinese, are coming in to visit Israel. It's amazing how that's developing. And, of course, the high-tech industry, China wants to get involved with that. And let me tell you why that's key, because Israel, I don't know if our listeners know that, Israel produces 40% of all software that's produced all over the world. 40% of all of that software. They have the Silicon Valley there in the city of Jerusalem. And the brains and software are living in Jerusalem and working in that industry. So that plays out into the hands of Russia and to China. Turkey's looking at the high tech. They're making deals with Israel. They also have a water deal. Remember, Turkey is one of the best watered areas in the Middle East, but most of the rest of the Middle East is very dry. And so Turkey has a signed agreement. They're building a pipeline from Turkey through the Mediterranean over to Israel. But India has to be the number one star. The leader of India has just done a one-week visit into Israel. He signed trade deals like India and Israel have never had before. They signed deals for arms sales, for tourism. The number two people coming into Israel after the Chinese would be the ones from India. They're coming into the land. They want to see the land of the Bible. I want you to know that the leader of India never mentioned Palestinian or Palestine one time when he was in the land. It's amazing how these four nations are really in the mix and working and helping develop high industry, tourism, and everything else that will make Israel a very profitable nation in the very near future.
Dr. Jimmy, I know we have just a couple of seconds here before we have to go to break, but you mentioned the Silk Road nations. That's 75 nations that have joined together in this Chamber of International Commerce. Could you comment on that very quickly and how that might factor into end-time Bible prophecy?
Well, the fact is, when you go to Revelation, Dave, in chapter 16 and verse 12, it talks about the River Euphrates, which is a natural border between the Middle East and the Far East. The River Euphrates will be dried up to make way for the kings of the East. Those 75 member states in that Silk Road Corporation, they are involved in the Far East. They're going to be the ones coming in at the end of the tribulation period. That stage is being set.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to another exciting program here on Stand in the Gap today. Our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We're looking at Israel. That's where we're going to be in this next segment. We're going to come back and we're going to look at another evidence of God's blessing on Israel against all odds. We're going to talk about the Israeli Olympics as one such focus, another proof of God's blessing on Israel.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And if you are just joining us here midway through this Wednesday edition of Stand in the Gap today, we thank you for doing so. And if you are one of the thousands of listeners across the country who we hear from regularly, just like we shared yesterday in the program, folks saying they'd never miss this program because of the information that they hear, we thank you for being with us every day. And we trust that as we have special guests like we do today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, or as we discuss things among ourselves, the three hosts or others, that that you are in fact profiting by it. We'd like to hear from you. So I encourage you, take just a moment of time, go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, and drop us a note. Or download, if you haven't done so, download our new app. Your iPhone, just put in, it's a free app, just put in Stand in the Gap, search for that. You can download the app. If you have an Android, American Pastors Network will work there as well. Download that app, and then we can communicate with you every morning. We, a couple hours before the program, we give the theme of the program, the guests that we're going to have, them, and alert you to that. And then as well, other things. You can communicate with us. You can access our entire website from your hand and your phone, which many people are doing. And you can participate with us both in prayer and financial giving right from your phone. And let me encourage you to consider doing that. It's critically important if what we are saying is helping you. Then stand with us financially. We are a ministry. We don't have anything big behind us. We are preachers of the gospel, and God's led us all to come together and to put ourselves there and to help promote and to talk and give forth the truth of God's word, because we know that's where the answers are. But we need help. We need your participation. So let us hear from you and stand with us financially. We would much, much appreciate that. Okay, now in this segment, gentlemen, back in 1948, Israel, and a lot of people have heard this phrase, against all odds, but Israel came into an existence in 1948 against all odds. They won the Six-Day War against all odds. They are playing an increasing pivotal international role, as we talked about in the last segment, really, against all odds. God is also evidencing a lot of things that he's doing for Israel in other ways as well. One of them, Jimmy, that I want to go to you about and have you share some insight here with us briefly in this segment, is what's called the Israeli Olympics. They call it the Maccabee Games. Very interesting title. Jimmy, you were just there. You saw things that we don't hear in the news. I want to start, before we go to the Maccabee Games, if I could, just going to put that a little bit of a teaser. I want to start with the downside and then come to the upside. It seems to me, Jimmy, that since President Trump went to the Middle East, unless it's just an observation that's not quite accurate, it appears that the enemies of Israel have been a little bit more quiet. And the normal folks, the Palestinians, the Hamases, the Hezbollahs, they've seemed to have backed off a little bit. Yet there seems to be a boiling pot, kind of like Mount Vesuvius right now in Europe is boiling. It's breaking its top and may burst open again. It almost seems like there's something happening on Israel's northern border. Let's start right there first with the potential explosive activity on Israel's northern border, and then we'll go into us, you talking to us about the Olympics.
You got to remember, Sam, that the geography of Israel goes about 310 miles from the Red Sea down in the south in Eilat, where we were on this last tour, all the way to Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is on the border there between, and in fact, three states there you would see from that particular location, standing in the foothills of Mount Hermon. You'd see to the east, Jordan, to the north, Syria, and to the west, Lebanon. Well, at that border, the Golan Heights extends into the south of that border, the northern border of Israel, and then the Golan Heights extends north into Syria as well. There, you have gathered all the terroristic elements that are in Jordan, in Syria today. They've all come together there in the Golan Heights. They're taking over that region. Hezbollah just came in from Lebanon. They have been drawn into that location. Islamic State there. Al-Qaeda is there. You're talking about the Muslim Brotherhood in there. And even Bashar Assad has his people there on the northern border. Our tour was traveling up to that particular site there at Mount Hermon. We stopped at a place to get a view of Kanetra, which is an abandoned city there in Syria. For the purpose, the Syrians abandoned the city to show the world that Israel was going to attack the Syrians. They have not. On the Israeli side, you have some wonderful apple orchards there, the best apples you could ever eat. But when we got out of the bus to take some pictures, the Israeli Defense Force throws up, said, get back in the bus. There has just been a mortar that's been lobbed over the border from the Syrian Golan Heights here into the Golan Heights. That's how tight it is up there. All of these enemies of Israel are perched right there at the border. Mortar shells are being lobbed across into Israel. Israeli Air Force is going into that section to try to shut down some of these mortar sites. So it's a bit quiet. It seems to be quiet, but you've got the Israeli Defense Force massed on the Golan Heights on the Israeli side, ready to defend the state of Israel. On the other side, I think they're just counting the moments until they're going to be able to try to take back the Golan Heights, which is exactly what Bashar Assad said he was going to do. So it's quiet today. It could explode tomorrow.
Dr. Jimmy, obviously, anybody that knows the history of Israel knows that its coming into existence was miraculous. The way it's prospering now is just absolutely miraculous, having just been there recently. But one of the things that is never really reported in the media is what God has done with Israel and through Israel with respect to the Israeli Olympics. That in and of itself is an incredible, incredible story. Would you mind sharing a little bit of that with our listening audience?
David, just about a week ago, the Maccabi Games came into operation there in Israel. They had an opening ceremony in Jerusalem. They'll have the closing ceremony upcoming in a couple of days. This is the 20th time that the Maccabi Games, or the Israeli Olympics, whichever they're synonymous terms, that they have been played. And they're called the Maccabee Games because it refers back to the Maccabees, the priestly family, that during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, about 2,500 years ago, as foretold in Daniel chapter 11, they came together to run Antiochus Epiphanes, the madman, out of Israel, reconsecrate the temple, and get back into operation as far as the Israeli religious operations are concerned. And so that's where we get the name the Maccabees. There'll be over 10,000 athletes that are going to participate, about 7,000 coming from other countries other than Israel. In other words, the diaspora. All the Olympic events are going to be involved in the Maccabee Games. And as I said, it's the 20th anniversary. And the reason for that, the reason they started these games is because, remember, in the 20th century, the 1900s, the Holocaust was going on, preparation for that. Jews were hated. They were banned from entering the Olympics. And so they had to participate in some of their own local type of athletic events. Well, that developed then into the fact that they started the Maccabee Games. They wanted to be a witness, a testimony to the world that the Jewish people are involved in all sections of life. Unbelievable athletes in the Jewish world today. You've got to remember some of them are involved in baseball in the United States, basketball. They're professional basketball players, tennis. One of the leading tennis players in the world is now Israeli, the winter sports because of Mount Hermon, the martial arts, etc. I could go on and on. But these Maccabee Games had testimony, had tangible evidence of how the Lord is working to develop the Jewish state of Israel.
You know, Jimmy, Dave just mentioned God's covenant with the nation of Israel. And in saying that, my mind went to Romans 11, where it says in verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Now, we know from understanding Bible prophecy that the best day of Israel is yet to come. I'm wondering if you might just take a few minutes and explain to our audience what this concept of Romans chapter 11, verses 26 and 27 is all about, that where God says, "I will take away their sins." When and how is that going to happen?
Gary, you've got to remember Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Chapter 9 looks at Israel past. Chapter 10, Israel present. Chapter 11, Israel future. What's going to happen in the very near future, I do believe, because all of Bible prophecy is getting in place to be fulfilled. When the rapture takes place, we go into a seven-year period of time referred to in Jeremiah as the time of Jacob's trouble. According to Daniel chapter 12, the Lord releases Michael the archangel to protect the Jewish people from being totally annihilated. Zechariah the prophet in chapter 13 and verse 8 says, "Two out of every three Jews on the earth during that terrible time of judgment will be killed." Now, remember, it was only one-third of the Jewish population of the world that were killed there in the Holocaust in World War II. This is twice that many, two out of every three Jews. The other third are actually going to be in Petra, and our tour group and your tour group will go to Petra to be able to see this city prepared by God, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6, to prepare his people. If you go back to Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Two out of every three Jews will be killed." Verse 9 says, "The rest of them will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior." Zechariah 9, 3 says, "In a day they will get saved." That's the book of Romans chapter 11.
Wow, what a great, great whirlwind summation of prophecy, Jimmy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Israel today. That is our focus. And in the next segment, when we come back, we're going to talk about the joint tour between Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today, scheduled for next March, 7th to 21st, 2018, and about why you may really want to consider going with us on that historic trip. Stay with us. We're going to talk about that when we come right back. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we go into this final segment, we're going to, as we said earlier in the broadcast, we want to talk about the Stand in the Gap Today and the Prophecy Today Israel tour. That's first time ever, but it's scheduled for next March 2018, 8 months from now. March the 7th through the 21st is the entire trip. And I'd like to, in this segment, if we could, ladies and gentlemen, just share some things about why you may really want to consider going with us. Well, let me just say up front, we would love to have you go. If you like what you're hearing on this program and Stand in a Gap generally, as we try to focus on issues of the day, but a lot on Israel because that's where God focuses attention. That's what makes this trip going to be very, very special, but even more so. So we want to talk a little bit about that here. But Jimmy, let me go to you first because you and Gary and I and Dave, hopefully all three of us, our hosts, will be there and be able to be a part of this, which will by itself make it unique. And we hope uniquely good. But, Jimmy, you've been to many times to the Middle East. You've lived there in Israel a long time. And I know I've asked you before, if you ever get tired visiting Israel, and you very clearly last time said, nope, absolutely not. But let me go bear down just a bit more. If you could look back on your most recent trip you just got back from, could you name one highlight, perhaps, that maybe God used to reinforce a conviction or a truth or maybe something you did learn new for the first time? Just share your top highlight, if you could, from your most recent trip.
Well, Sam, that's going to be pretty difficult because I learn more each and every time I go there. I probably traveled over 150 times to Israel in tours prior to moving there in 91 to live. We've lived there for 26 years. We've met with all the leaders of Israel. We know them personally. We understand the Israeli mind, its body politic, And we understand the system and how to go to different sites and everything else. So we have that opportunity. I guess there's a million things I could talk about, not literally, but one of the exciting things was I went to the Western Wall, and that's where you enter into the tunnels that go along the Western Wall of those four walls that retain the Temple Mount itself. There's a tunnel that goes back some 2,000 years to the times of the Hasmoneans. And right there at the entrance of the tunnel, we have a new virtual trip through Herod's temple. You know what you do? You put on the viewer, you put the earphones on, and actually we were in the spot where the temple would have stood, and we then go back 2,000 years to the times of Herod's temple. It was amazing, the things that I learned from that particular point in time. Just thrilling to me. But in addition to that, that's not the only thing I learned. I went to Ben-Gurion's home. He lived in a kibbutz right at the northern end of the Negev Desert. Remember, the Negev Desert is two-thirds of all the land mass in Israel. We drive through the Negev. That's where the children of Israel wandered for the 40 years in the wilderness. They were 20 miles from Hebron when Moses sent the spies in. They could have gone into the promised land, but they wandered in the wilderness. We go through that period. We go to Kadesh Barnea. And to go through that area and realize what the Lord is doing out there today, went to the Temple Institute. They told us that they have, that's the place preparing to build the temple. They have five red heifers that are going to be born the first of 2018, which will conclude everything in the preparation to put up the temple. I'm sorry, it's just very difficult for me to say one thing that I've learned, because it never gets old, and you go there and you learn. I have my Bible in hand. That's the thrilling part of taking a tour. You take the best guidebook you can get a hold of. It's called the Bible, and you follow the steps of Jesus Christ, and then you look at the prophetic passages and realize everything's going to culminate there in Israel. It's an amazing experience. Even for an old veteran like me who lived there for 26 years, I shed tears all the way through. And, of course, my wife, Judy, she was the one that said, we've got to go to Israel. We were there for a month this time, had a marvelous time.
Jimmy, I appreciate that answer. And, of course, you know, there's no doubt about it, but that every time you go over there, you must learn something new, even though you lived there for so many years. But we've got people listening to us here today who say, well, there are many people who go to Israel a lot, and we know that that's the case. But allow me, if I may, just to ask you to boil this trip down to one thing. If there is one particular reason why people should go with us on our trip to Israel, as you being our leader, what would that one thing be that would be unique or different from any other tour trip that's going to Israel these days?
Well, again, you're making it difficult for me, Gary, to say just one thing. If I could say one thing, it's making your Bible come alive. With Bible in hand, we go to these sites. We have read for many years. If you've never been to Israel, you've read about what Jesus did, where he did it, and how it all took place. But when you stand in this spot, you stand up at Caesarea Philippi, and there that water coming out of Mount Hermon, which is the beginning of the Jordan River, it cascades down over the waterfalls, one of the most beautiful spots in all the earth as far as I'm concerned. You stand there and read Matthew chapter 16, where Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we stand there on the spot where that happened. That piece of literature, that Bible, Matthew 16, comes alive. Go over to the Jezreel Valley. And it's 1,000 square miles. And I explain how that could be the battlefield. It will be the battlefield. It's told in the Word of God. But then it says that in Revelation chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, the blood is going to flow as high as a horse's bridle for 176 miles. Well, wait a minute. Earlier on, you asked me about how the Jews come to know Christ in a day. They're over in Petra. Do you know from Megiddo in the Jezreel Valley to Petra, it's 176 miles? And we go from the ghetto to Petra to realize what the Bible is talking about. The Temple Mount, where Jesus will rule and reign. And we talk about the activities when we stand on the Temple Mount. The Temple Institute, all their preparation. I mean, again, it's very difficult to narrow things down to one or two thoughts. But everything coming about. Look, the significance of our tour is not just showing the sights to the people, but a prophetic theme that is a part of everything we're going to be doing and teaching there. It helps prophecy come alive. It helps the Word of God come alive. It becomes tangible evidence of what Christ did 2,000 years ago.
In addition to that, ladies and gentlemen, you'll have the input of Gary, myself, and Dave, Lord willing, that we will all be there. It is our intent as we give input collectively from our perspective, different perspectives, like we do in this program. That's different. And I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, I'll confess, I've never been to the Holy Land or to Israel. This will be my wife, my time, first trip. If you've never been there, go join with us. We can look at the reflections in our own faces as we see things really for the first time together. I think that'd be an exciting, exciting thing. If you want to know information, go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, and you can find information there. Go check it out and get in line right now. Consider going, taking your pastor with you, perhaps. Jimmy, we're about gone and about done here for today. Would you close us in prayer today as we wrap up this program?
Lord, we've been discussing very important issues that are so important to you. We talked about political activities, and you use politics, political leaders to accomplish your will. We've talked about the land of Israel. It's your heart. It's the apple of your eye. Possibility of going there. Help that all to work out. Help us to be what we need to be to teach the word, to expect you to come at any time. My precious name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being with us today, ladies and gentlemen, all across the country and around the world as you're listening to this program. Thank you for being with us. And until we come back tomorrow, would you stand in the gap for truth where you are? And if you're able, go to our website, standinthegapradio.com. Consider going with us. Prophecy Today, Stand in the Gap Today, Tour of Israel 2018, March 7th to 21. Go check it out, please.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net. and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.